This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wind swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Greetings, one and all, as we welcome into the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Paulie, well, he's a slacker. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Scott Warman with you. Great to have you alongside here on this beautiful Wednesday night. We are just a little over a week away from the holiest of holy days, as we all know, here in St. Louis, opening day, and we're going to talk a lot of baseball coming up in the next 2 hours. Matt, just get a little rest before he cranks up the regular season. He'll be working a lot of hours, as he always does, so we're kind of filling in. I know Jen Cease did a great job over the last couple of days, and I get the opportunity here tonight. Great to have you alongside. Lots to talk about. Not only are we going to hit on Cardinal baseball, the Blues have been just absolutely red hot. They have been playing terrific hockey. They have a chance, potentially, to get into the playoffs, which seems hard to believe when they were struggling back in January. But things have really turned an incredible corner. Our buddy Joey Vitale, CBC High School, along with, of course, a former NHLer and part of our TV as well as radio broadcast as an analyst, he's going to join us coming up a little bit later on this hour. We'll talk some Blues hockey with him. But, of course, maybe one of my favorite times of the year, gang, March Madness. Love it. There's so many college basketball fans now compared to just a month ago because everybody's got to put together their bracket and make their picks. And so what we're going to ask you is to text us your pick, not only who you think is going to win this puppy, but I also want to see if you're going to text in with us, who's your Cinderella story? Who do you think is going to be the great Cinderella story? Is it our friends over in Edwardsville, our buddy Joe Pott and the Cougars as they take on the Houston Cougars? Boy, that's a tall task. But I know Joe and all the great people at SOUE are going to enjoy just being in Wichita and enjoying that opportunity as they'll tip it off at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And so who's your Cinderella? You can text us coming up here on KMOX. We'll read some of the text. Of course, Mizzou will be taking on the Drake Bulldogs from the Missouri Valley Conference. Mizzou and Drake will tip it off basically the same time. The Blues will drop the puck against the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow night just after 6:30. We're going to talk some college basketball in the 7 o'clock hour. Scotty Highmark, who I'm sure most of you know, a longtime college basketball analyst with not only his Billikens, but as well as Mizzou, Missouri Valley, go right on down the line, Billiken Hall of Fame. Famer. Scotty's going to join us. We're going to talk March Madness with him. We're going to talk a little Mizzou Drake, get his thoughts on that, as well as SIU's matchup with the Houston Cougars. But also, of course, SLU lost last night to Arkansas State, so we'll get his thoughts on SLU in the first season under head coach Josh Schertz. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. And then we'll also go back to Cardinal baseball, again, opening day. And Joe Strome, who I'm sure most of you have heard Joe's voice over the years on KMOX. He's been with the organization for many, many years, head of ticket sales, senior vice president with the organization. And Joe's going to tell us about some of the things that are going on, not only surrounding opening day, but opening weekend. There's even more stuff. If you can't make it down on opening day, more stuff and more opportunities to enjoy the first weekend of baseball here in St. Louis. Joe will tell us about that. Plus, Joe, he's got actually two of his sons are involved in college basketball. And Joe's a huge college basketball fan. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about his take as far as March Madness is concerned as well. Again, we'll be talking a lot of baseball. The Cardinals, if you saw earlier today or you heard, the Cardinals defeat the Nationals by a score of 7-1. Steven Matz with another terrific performance as he went six innings and only gave up one earned run on four hits. Victor Scott II gets another home run, making things interesting as we get back to decision day for this 26-man roster for the Cardinals. And we'll talk to Brad Thompson here momentarily about that. Also, Alec Burleson, who was playing first base, and he hits a home run. But I'll tell you what, he was playing first base, and he looked pretty slick over there. He handled a couple of, not great throws over at first base, and he did it with the greatest of ease. We'll talk a little Contreras, Burleson, and first base with Brad Thompson coming up as well. As I mentioned, Blues hockey tomorrow night at the Enterprise Center as they will host the Vancouver Canucks at Enterprise. A little early start. It's at 6:30. It's a nationally televised game on ESPN+. So 6:30 is when they'll drop the puck over at the Enterprise Center between the Blues and the Vancouver Canucks. We'll take a quick break here on Graybar Sports Open Line. When we come back, we'll get into our conversation with FanDuel Cardinal TV analyst Brad Thompson as we continue on The Voice of St. Louis.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on Graybar Sports Open Line on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. We go down to Jupiter, Florida, where the Cardinals, just days away before they come to St. Louis as they're wrapping up spring training 2025. You know Brad Thompson, TV analyst for the Cardinals on FanDuel Sports Network. In fact, just had the game today with our own Tommy Ackerman on FanDuel. He joins us right now. And Bradley, good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
Scotty, I am doing great, man. Thank you very much for having me today. How we doing?
We are doing great. We are getting ready for opening day, which is hard to believe, just a week away. But the good thing is it's getting warm out. Of course, you don't realize that when you're in Florida, but I know when you're back here, you realize that we're getting to warmer weather and we're getting to opening day, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. And you know this, Scotty. You grew up in St. Louis. You've been to tons of opening days. I don't care if it is sunny, like it's projected to be on Thursday against the Twins. I don't care if it's snowing. It is always an awesome day. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait for it. And look, as we all know, there are a lot of storylines and there are a lot of questions surrounding the 2025 Cardinals. And just being around these guys, like I get the feeling that this is a group that has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They know what people are saying. They know what the national media pundits expect them to do. And I got a feeling that they want to prove everybody wrong. So I'm in for it. I'm looking forward to it, well, Scotty.
Man, you just let me in my opening question, being down there a couple of times with Chip and Ricky and John and Tom and the crew. Give us the vibe, not only from a player's perspective, but I know you get the chance to talk to Ollie and some of the coaching staff as well as management as well. Again, there's a lot of people out there that aren't having very high expectations. What are you hearing from everybody in Mass, even besides the players?
Yeah, look, well, first of all, just talking about an overall vibe of camp, because, you know, again, you've been to enough camps, not only the Cardinals, but other teams you've bounced around. Like, you know when there is a camp that is well-run and crisp, and you know when there is a camp that's kind of stale and kind of guys are over it. Well, right now, I still feel like there's so much up for grabs for the Cardinals, and there's so much to prove on an individual basis, pretty much top to bottom on this roster, because even your veterans have something to prove. Nolan Arenado's got something to prove that he's not the guy that hit 16 home runs, 71 driven in last year. He's the guy on the back of his baseball card. You know, you got Wilson Contreras that wants to prove that he's going to stay healthy this year. By the way, last year, the injuries by no fault of his own, but he's going to make that transition to first base. And then you got all the young, hungry guys. So, like, from their standpoint, they're optimistic that this team's going to surprise a lot of people, as are the young guys on this team. And from the coaching staff, they like what they're seeing. They like the work that the players are putting in. They were very encouraged with the offseason that many of the guys had, went right back to work. They gave everybody assignments, as you know, Scott. At the end of the year, they sit down with each player. Here's what we think you do well. Here's what we think that you need to work on a little bit. And they were very happy with the work that they put in. And along those lines of putting in the work, I love how well-coached and well-ran this camp is. John Jay was an enormous pickup for this coaching staff. This is a guy that already, he's younger, he's fun, right? He can speak the language, he talks to the kids, they know who he is. But he is a dang good coach. Him and Descalso, it has been a lot of fun watching them run practices a lot of times and breaking everything down. And they hold guys accountable, talk to several players about the impact that those guys have had, and they love them. So, look, it's an optimistic group. Shouldn't be shocking, right? Everybody's going to be optimistic about their own camp. I don't know exactly where the Pecota projections put the Cardinals earlier this year, probably in the somewhere, you know, in the high 70 wins or something, but they believe that it's going to be a lot better club than that.
Brad Thompson, of course, the Cardinal TV analyst for the Cardinal Telecast on FanDuel Sports Network, joins us on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Let's get to Contreras. That's quite a transformation that you have to make from catcher to first base. And I've always said this, Brad, is the fact that, you know, other than when you go outside the pitcher, the guy outside of catcher, when you're talking about your eight position players that handles the ball the most, is at first base. And in my time, Keith Hernandez by far the best first baseman I've ever seen in my life. And Paul Goldschmidt is right behind that. So that's big shoes to fill. You're not going to be able to entirely handle those shoes. How's Wilson handled things, at least from a defensive perspective, over at first base?
Yeah, well, when it comes to filling the shoes, I think that he should go about it the same way that he talked about filling the shoes of Yadier Molina. You're not going to do it, right?
Right.
You're not going to be Yadi. Just like transferring over to first base, you're not going to end up being Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, Wilson, I think, has had maybe 7 or 9 games, I forget exactly which one it is, in his career at first base, but he hasn't done it since 2019. So it's not like he was crazy familiar with the position in the first place. But credit to him, he was down early, he was putting in the work in the offseason, he was working with Jose Oquendo every day. Get the opportunity down here in spring to watch some of the early work and watch the reps that he's putting in when there aren't a ton of eyes on him. Like, he is dedicated to do what he needs to do at that position. And if you were just somebody, you had no idea who Wilson Contreras was, you just came and watched him over at first base, he looks the part. He moves well. He's working, you know, he's working on his mobility at the position. This is a guy that's an athlete anyhow. He's a competitor. So I think that he's going to be fine. Is it going to look like Goldie? No, it's not going to look like Goldie. Will it get better and better throughout the year? I would believe so. I think that as he learns the ins and outs, the nuances of the position, I think it'll get better. But you're right. It's an extremely important position. When you got a young shortstop last year in Mason Wynn, Mason Wynn can make every play on the field, but there had to be that guy on the back end that was helping on some of them. Right. That was Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, he makes everybody better. Him and Arenado, some of the plays that those guys make across the diamond, holy cow. Like, it's not an easy thing to be able to replicate for Wilson Contreras, but I think it is going to be well worth it having him move over to first base. His career high in home runs, and Tom Ackerman and I were talking about this during the ball game today. His career high was back in 2019. He was an all-star that year. It was 24 home runs. I think he surpasses that by far. I could see him hitting 30 home runs at least, not having the rigors over at first base that he does behind the plate. So I look forward to that. And then on the flip side, I really look forward to seeing the tandem of Pedro Pajes and Ivan Herrera behind the plate. These guys both got tons of experience last year. Pajes got the bulk of the catching duties. Herrera hit 301 last year, driving the baseball. He's crushing the ball yet again this spring. I think you got a pretty good tandem there, and certainly a bat in Herrera that you got to figure out ways to get in the lineup.
Cards TV analyst on FanDuel Sports Network, Brad Thompson, joined us on KMOX. A couple more before we let him go. And obviously, two biggies I want to touch with you before we wrap things up, Brad. Obviously, the center field situation. Victor Scott with just having a great spring. Another good day today. How do you break down him and the whole center field situation as we have a few days left of spring training?
Victor Scott has done everything that he could possibly do to make the best impression and make the team. Like, he's done it all. He's swinging it well. He's worked on his and swinging it well, by the way, is understating it. I mean, he came into action today hitting 370, another home run today, as you mentioned. I mean, he's doing it all. He's stolen five bags. He's been working in the outfield on his first step, on his reads. If you're looking at just sheer defensively, Michael Ciani is a better defender than Victor Scott II is at this point in Vic's career. Not to say that he can't get to that point. But Ciani has not had a great spring offensively. But the problem is, when you're looking at the roster construction of the Cardinals this year, I don't think that you can look at Vic and say, all right, I'm going to give you everyday reps in center field with the way that things set up right now. You've got Nolan Arenado over at third. If he wasn't there, that would be Gorman over at third base. And then you'd have Donnie over at second. You would have Newt Barr over in left. And all of a sudden, center field is open. And it'd be easy to say, okay, Vic, you got everyday at bats. You're 24 years old. You have to play. I don't think that you can say that right now if you're Ollie and his staff. I don't think that you can give those at-bats, and I believe at 24, he's got to play. He's got to play every day and get those reps. So I am not hoping for that to happen for Victor Scott II because I think he's electric. I love the skill set, but I think it's going to be one of those really tough decisions. If they can't give him every day at-bats in center field, I'm not sure if they would want to put him on the roster if that doesn't help his development. But it's a tough, tough decision.
Yeah, BT, you and I have discussed this. I really was impressed. I know it was only a couple of appearances last year, what Michael McGreevy did. There has been, you know, the tires kicked around. I think Ollie mentioned it with some of the media earlier this week, is maybe him staying and being a sixth starter. How do you see this whole thing potentially playing out here?
Boy, I certainly don't want to just poo-poo on two great performances and guys that have absolutely done everything they can to make the team. But again, so let's talk about the back end of the rotation. We knew that Steven Matz was a question mark coming in. He'd been limited to injuries the last 3 years, limited last year certainly with the back. Well, he looks great. Another six strong innings for him today. You would believe that he'll be in this rotation. You mentioned the idea of the six-man rotation. Cardinals have a lot of off days early. Now, I guess early in the season, never a bad thing to give your guys a little bit of extra rest, but I wonder how much they'd want to do that.
Right.
You've got Matthew Liberatore, who could serve as a reliever that gives you multiple innings, and he was so good out of the bullpen. He pitched in 60 games last year. All but six of them were out of the pen, and I think that he just kept getting better and better, and what a great thing it is to have somebody that can give you multiple innings. I see that kind of being the role for him, and higher leverage innings and give you a couple of them. And McGreevy, like you said, he was so good, but he's got a pitch, right? So I wonder if, because inevitably you don't get through the season with five starters, Scotty,
no.
As much as you want to, it doesn't happen,
no,
right?
It doesn't.
So I it would not surprise me if he starts the season in Memphis, and who knows for him, you know, for him, hopefully would get the nod soon, but they're not easy decisions. And that's exactly what every manager wants. And as a player, all you can do is control what you can control. Michael McGreevy has had an awesome spring. He made nothing but incredible impressions last year. The results on the field, the way he goes about it as a pro, he's a really smart, smart pitcher, too. I had the opportunity to be on the Cardinal Caravan with Michael, and I just came away so impressed by him and his thought process, and just I feel like he's wise beyond his years when it comes to his approach and his just pitching prowess. But again, squeezing in a 26-man roster, you got a couple of guys in Leahy who can give you multiple innings as well, has not given up a run this spring. Roy Croft has not given up a run this spring either. I just feel like unless you want to do the 6-man rotation and have, you know, have everybody give that extra rest, or I don't think you want to really put him in the bullpen. I'd like to keep him on a starter schedule. I could see him starting the season in Memphis. How do you see it, Scotty?
I think that you're exactly spot on. You got to, just like Victor Scott, you got to get these guys out there and you got to get them to play. And guess what? The 26 men who are going to be with this ball club on opening day against the Twins, that's not going to be the same roster you're going to have probably within a two-week time period. You know how it goes with all these injuries and everything else that goes on with the team. You would imagine that we'll see Victor Scott as well as McGreevy probably sooner rather than later. But I think it also is, BT, a situation where it actually is, like you mentioned, a good thing that you have these problems. Look at it. I just go back to last year. Remember our buddy Skippy Schumacher down in Miami had all those injuries, and he had all of these pitchers, and then he's trying to pick up pitchers off the scrap heap. I think
Scotty,
I told
team...
you when I saw him that opening weekend when he was here in St. Louis. I said, well, you know, Skippy, I said, I'm a lefty. I said, I might have an inning left in me. And he goes, I might need you, Scotty. I mean, that's how poor the situation was for, as you know, for Skippy last year.
They used 40 pitchers last year and 20 different starters.
Nuts.
There is no chance that any coach on that staff knows everybody's name that played for them. There's no way in a situation like that. So your goal as an organization is to have depth, right? And the Cardinals are starting to have more and more of that. Now we're going to find out what some of these young players look like. We're going to find out what Jordan Walker is this year. We're going to find out what Gorman is. I can't wait to see Lars Nootbaar every single day. 109 games for Newt last year. He's never played more than 120. Again, to no fault of his own, injuries happen, but he is a game changer when he's out there. He's an on-base machine. A couple more hits today. This guy just drives the baseball. He's a Statcast darling. But these guys, we're going to find out if the homegrown talent here within the organization can be the next nucleus. But you've got other guys that are trying to push their way on this roster, and that's what you always want. You want it to be a tough decision, and I feel like the Cardinals have a few of those.
All right, buddy. Great to chat with you. Appreciate it. We will see you on opening day.
Scotty, thanks for having me. I look forward to it. Can't wait for opening day.
That is Brad Thompson, Cardinal TV analyst for FanDuel Sports Network. That's right, folks. A week from tomorrow, we get it all cranked up. Pre-game festivities, by the way, will get underway before the first pitch at 3:15 a week from Thursday at 2:30 sharp. And, of course, all the coverage here on KMOX. Quick break on the Gray Bar Sports Up Line. When we come back, we'll shift some gears. We'll talk some hockey. Joey Vitale, of course, analyst on both radio and TV for the St. Louis Blues. We'll talk about those Red Hot Blues when we come back on The Voice of St. Louis. Back on Gray Bar Sports on the Line on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Scott Warman back with you. Talk some hockey right now. Our good buddy, of course, part of the radio and TV broadcast of our St. Louis Blues, the red hot St. Louis Blues with another win last night. Joey Vitale joins us right now. He just came back from Nashville, Tennessee. What a nice little trip that wound up being, huh?
What's going on? It was awesome. The weather was great. Of course, we landed there on St. Patrick's Day of all days. So, as you can imagine, the main strip, it looked like Vegas on the night of the Super Bowl. It was packed with hooligans and people enjoying spring break and a lot, and I mean a lot, of St. Louis Blues fans. So, it was a fun night, and ultimately, it led into just a wonderful game against the Predators, and the St. Louis Blues keep going along.
And I was glad Monty mentioned this, Jim Montgomery, the Blues head coach, after the game, because I mentioned this a couple times during intermission and post. As well as the Blues have played since this Four Nations tournament break, I thought the Blues probably played one of the more sloppy games as far as you look at the D-zone turnovers and how many times Nashville had sticks on pucks. I mean, the passing wasn't as crisp as what we have seen it. But with all that being said, another victory that they pull out against the Nashville team, which just absolutely puzzles me when you look at some of the names on the back of those jerseys.
Well, I think the biggest thing with the execution piece, because I think you're right, was, you know, when Pavel Buchnevich went down in that second period, you know, everything got shifted around. You know, McCarron hits Buchnevich. He has to go off for concussion protocol. So now Jim Montgomery has to grab different players from the bottom six. It was Matthew Joseph. It was Nathan Walker. You know, you got to piece these people in. Now, it's interesting because he didn't piece Nathan Walker in for a full shift with Thomas and Neighbors, for example. He didn't grab Matthew Joseph for a full shift. If there was a whistle 20 seconds into their shift, he would take them off, whether it be Joseph or Walker, and then put someone else on. There was one time it was Joseph, Neighbors, and Thomas. For about 30 seconds, there was a whistle. Then they put Walker out there for Joseph, and then they let Walker finish the next 20 seconds of that top shift. So he almost kind of supplemented different players in on a minor scale instead of just putting someone out there fully. And it's a really cool thing he did that, because what it did was it allowed Joseph and Walker to not basically expend themselves for a 45-second to a minute shift,
right,
where then they weren't good for their line. Because the last thing I think he wanted to do was disrupt every single line. And when you lose a top player, you're going to grab a player from somewhere else. Let's say if it was Matthew Joseph. Well, then all of a sudden that third line, that 70s line, isn't as effective because you're missing a piece. So it actually affects multiple lines. So it was really, really intelligent, I thought, what Jim Montgomery did. And luckily, Scott, as we know, he only had to supplement that in there for about the remaining of the second period. And it was great to see number 89 back out there to start the third.
It certainly was, as that was actually a pretty scary hit. Obviously, Colton Parayko goes down with the injury, and I think as well as the Blues were playing, most Blues fans were pretty concerned that that might be the death knell, if you will, for this hockey team. But, man, this defense has just really picked it up head to toe on all three pairings ever since Colton, who's had a phenomenal season, has gone down with the injury.
It's been the craziest question, and I asked Steve Ott about it after the last home game versus the Ducks. We always do a post-game interview on the radio side with Steve Ott as he's exiting, win or loss. And Steve's terrific. He's so good with us. He's so respectful. Even during those tough games where you know he probably doesn't want to answer certain questions earlier in the season, he's always stuck by it and hung in like a champ. And I asked him, I said, Steve, for everyone who asked me and Curbs, how does this team continue just to click along without Colton Parayko? Because up to his injury, Scott, as you know, I don't know if there was a more consistent player on this team like Colton Parayko. I mean, he was in the Norris discussion, of course. You know, your best players, even in Thomas and Binnington, they had their ups and downs. Consistently-wise, Colton was the guy this year. He just was. And he was on pace for 20 goals, shutting down other teams' best, wins a gold medal at Four Nations. So everything was going in such a positive direction. When you lose him, you think, okay, here come the wheels, they're going to fall off. But it's been the opposite. Everyone has stepped up. And I asked Steve a question, and he flat out just said, you know, Joe, it's a great question. But what we are seeing is that we have a group of well-established veteran players that have a ton of experience, and this is the key word, and they can skate. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at players like Ryan Suter, you know, no disrespect to Ryan, but at his age, he can't really skate. Maybe like, you know, he could have when he was, you know, mid-30s or early, mid-20s or late-20s. You know, and he's keeping up. He's keeping up just fine. But the skaters, look at a player like Nick Leddy. Over 1,000 games, he can still zip it, right? Justin Falk has been on a tear. He had obviously the 2 points in the first period versus Nashville Predators, a goal and an assist. He's getting up the ice. Cam Fowler, again, another player with a ton of experience, over 1,000 games. But what's the key thing? He can move his feet. He can skate at the age that he's at with all that experience. So that's where I think that you lose Parayko, but also you brought back Leddy in just a few weeks before he got hurt. It took him a couple weeks to kind of get settled, but now Nick Leddy's off and running. And what's interesting is if Colton and this team can make the playoffs, and let's say Colton can come back for that first round, wow. I mean, you're talking about maybe the best, I think, defensive core in the National Hockey League now that you get Nick Leddy back and he's healthy.
Wow, that's interesting. As Joey Vitale, of course, the Blues analyst for both TV and radio, join us. And you and I discussed it when we were in studio. What was it, the L.A. Kings game out in L.A.? I said, Joey, Falk's got to be one of the keys here with the loss of Colton Parayko. Man, the guy has played his best hockey of all season, maybe in the last 2 years right now.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. And, you know, he's such a poised, good kid. Obviously, just well-loved in that locker room. You know, he's got this quiet leadership quality about him, Scott. We see him around. He's not a very arrogant kid. He's just a very humble Minnesota boy that just loves the game of hockey. And you know what? Push come to shove, you lose a big player, and he has done nothing but help this team. You know, not only defending very well, but just getting up in the offense. We saw him lead the rush on the Jake Neighbors goal. But how about him on the power play? I mean, remember, we lose Torrey Krug last summer, and then all of a sudden you have a power play that is kind of without a quarterback at the blue line. You know, they bring in Cam Fowler, and I think Cam Fowler had some opportunities where, you know, was it there? Yes, in some ways. Cam has done a great job on the other unit, but they really didn't have a great quarterback for the unit now with Dylan Holloway and Cole Duke and then Robert Thomas. And Justin Falk has grabbed it. He struggled at the beginning of the year. I think he struggled with getting up the ice on those breakouts in the power play, where you have to come up with speed, you have to attack the middle with speed. That sets up the drop pass, that sets up your entry into the zone, if you will. I think he was a little bit slow, a little bit hesitant, learning this position. It's been a while since he's developed into that. So it took him a couple months to kind of get reacclimated to what this is like. But now you see him come up on the break on the power play. He's got speed to the middle. He knows when to dish it. His timing is perfect. Even that Dylan Holloway goal that he scored a couple games ago, I mean, to me, Justin Falk, he attacks the middle. He draws defenders towards him. It's that body language, the false information he gives, and then he slides it out. Instead of just moving it to Dylan Holloway instinctually, you know, he waits, attacks the middle, then moves it so lanes open up for Dylan Holloway. So many intelligent plays that you look at Justin Falk making through his experience. And right now, he has been probably the biggest savior on the back end as far as the right-handed defensive position without Colton Parayko.
Joey, we were kind of touching on it last night during the telecast on about you and Curbs on the radio side, but, you know, the percentages, according to some of those experts, are going up as far as the Blues making it. Obviously, we don't know what can happen the next 3-plus weeks, but you really feel like this hockey team has a great chance of sneaking into the playoffs now?
I do. I really do. I'm not just saying this because I'm biased, and I am bullish with this team. This is a hockey team, when you compare them to the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks and the Utah Hockey Club. And you know what, heck, I'm even going to throw in the Minnesota Wild, who has obviously got that secured first wild card spot. They could lose that, you know, believe it or not.
Bernie said that last night, buddy.
Yeah, they can lose it. I think that one of these teams could actually catch Minnesota, as crazy as that is. But Minnesota is trending downward. They're missing a couple of their goal scorers. That Kaprizov is as valuable to the Minnesota Wild as any player is to the team across the league. And I'm not even going to include McDavid on that, because McDavid's got more support than Kaprizov has. The Minnesota Wild can't score. So that's a big problem. So Minnesota's trending down. The Vancouver Canucks, Scott, you cannot tell me that Elias Pettersson is going to get the Vancouver Canucks into the second round. I just don't see it.
No.
I think it's JT Miller. You have a player like him that vacates, he leaves. To me, he's a gamer. He's a playoff lifeline guy you need. And now he's gone. The Calgary Flames, I mean, we've seen the Blues play the Flames. They outplay the Flames. They outhit them. They outskate him. They out-goaltender him. I mean, everything across the board. It's a shame the Blues kind of went through a couple of those minor slumps throughout the season, because if it weren't for those little minor bumps, they'd be in a much better spot right now, where they'd be on the inside looking on the outside instead of the outside wanting to be on the inside. But I look at Calgary, Vancouver, the Utah, I'm not sold on them. I'm just not sold on them. And I ask myself this question: if you're the Winnipeg Jets and you feel like you're gonna win this division and you're going to win this conference, what team out of Utah, the Blues, the Flames, and the Canucks, what team, Minnesota Wild, throw them in there, all five, what team are you most fearful of in that first round? And I know Scheifele would never admit it. I know Kyle Connor would never admit this, but it's the Blues. It's the goaltender. It's Jordan Binnington. Yeah, I feel like he's in the head of Hellebuck. I feel like they have enough players from that 2019 first round with, of course, their captain, starting with Scheifele and Lowry and all those guys. They have enough experience here. They remember the 19 run, and they remember that there's some magic here in St. Louis, and that at the end of the day, a great goaltender. So I think that that's a question you have to ask. And then if you ask that question and you feel like it's the Blues, well, that's the team to me that deserves to be in. Now, are they going to make it? Well, they're going to have to play as about as good as hockey as they've been playing lately. I think 11-3-3 in their last little bit here. That's what the pace they have to continue at if they want to give themselves a chance.
Well, and the schedule definitely favors them for the most part over those last 3+ weeks. Joey Vitale, always great to catch up with you, buddy. Looks like we're going to have a great run to the end of this regular season, and hopefully we get a little playoff hockey again here in 2025. Thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it.
Sounds good, Scott. Anytime, brother. Thank you.
Joey Vitale does a great job both on TV and radio. Join us here talking some Blues hockey. Again, the Blues taking on the Canucks just down the street from our studios here at KMOX at the Enterprise Center tomorrow. It's a big game because the Blues and the Canucks right now tied for that eighth and final playoff spot as they'll duel tomorrow at Enterprise Center. 6:30, by the way, 6:30, half an hour early start tomorrow. It's nationally televised on ESPN+ between the Blues and the Canucks. Of course, March Madness starts tomorrow. Mizzou taking on Drake. SIU Edwardsville taking on Houston tomorrow afternoon. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, Scott Highmark, the Billiken Hall of Famer. We'll talk all things March Madness with him. And you know what? We want to get maybe your predictions. Kyle Sixta and I, we were kind of discussing, like, you know what? Maybe we'll have a couple minutes for some phone calls. If you want to chime in, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Get your picks. Who you think's going to win it all? If you made your bracket out, and who do you think might be Cinderella this season? We'll do all that when we come back on Graybar Sports Open Line.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Scott Warman in for Matt Pauley. Matt will be back next week as he takes a little bit of a rest before we get the baseball season underway. Of course, opening day coming up a week from tomorrow. All coverage all day, all night, right here on your home for Cardinal baseball, KMOX. It is March Madness, and we want to get, if you want to chime in, 314-436-7900, your picks on who's going to win the big dance this year and who might be your Cinderella. Is it our friends over in Edwardsville at SIUE, the Cougars? Of course, Joe Pott, our good friend, of course, right here at KMOX with the team in Wichita, as they'll tip it off against Houston, the Cougars of Houston, at 1 o'clock. And then again, Mizzou taking on the Drake Bulldogs at 6:30 tomorrow in the first big full day of March Madness. We'll talk all things college basketball to start things off at around 7:15, as Scott Highmark, the Hall of Famer from the St. Louis University Billikens, will join us. We'll get his take on March Madness and, of course, SLU season, as you heard here on KMOX, ending last night down in Jonesboro, Arkansas. So Scotty will join us, and we'll talk more Cardinal baseball, including Joe Strom from the Cardinals, as he'll talk about the big weekend, including opening day and some of the festivities and when you should get in your seats for all the pregame festivities before the first pitch of the 2025 campaign, as the Cardinals will host the Minnesota Twins. It's all coming up in hour number two of the Graybar Sports Open Line, right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.